Second Peter chapter 2 and the verse 2. It is the phrase, the way of truth, that I draw your attention to this morning. The way of truth. In the Greek text, there are in actual fact two definite articles, and quite literally it is the way of the truth. The way of the truth. And it's called that because there's only one way. The way of the truth. There's only one way. Solitary way, a singular way, one true way, and of course, by way we understand a path. A way in the Bible is a trodden path. A way that is traversed by the feet of certain men. It is the way of truth. And the phrase, as Peter uses it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the phrase is a description of Christianity. It's a description of the Christian religion. And so whenever Peter is saying the way of the truth, what he is saying is Christianity, the true religion. The Christian religion is the way of the truth. And all saved people, all true believers are traversing that way, the way of the truth. They're following the Christian religion and they're traversing in that way, adherents of Christ and Christianity. The Christian religion is the way of the truth. The thing is, however, there are many who claim to be Christian, who profess to be on this way, and the world looks on, and it sees all those who are professing Christianity, and it's kind of confused the world. Because as it looks on, it sees all these people and all these bodies professing to be on the way of the truth. Roman Catholicism professes to be Christian. Mormonism professes to be Christian. Jehovah's Witnesses profess to be the Christian religion. Greek Orthodoxy, modern Protestantism, ecumenism. Even the professors of evangelical churches. And the world looks on and it sees all the professors of Christianity. And it is evident that very many of the professors of Christianity are not under its power. They're not under its sanctifying influence. They're not under its efficacy at all. Whose lifestyle and whose adherence to false doctrine give Christianity a bad name. And that's what Peter's talking about here, about false teachers. These people who are claiming to be on the path of the truth, these people who are claiming to be Christians, and they get a great crowd of followers after them, and they're all claiming to be the Christian religion and on the path of truth. And verse 2, Peter says concerning them, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom? The way of truth. The Christian religion itself shall be evil spoken of. And so that's the context in which Peter is writing. There are false teachers, even in the visible church, who are teaching and living contrary to the Christian religion which they profess. And they're loose, these loose teachers are getting a great following. And their followers are as loose and corrupt as themselves. And because they're all professing to be the Christian religion, and all professing to be on the way of the truth, Christianity is getting a bad name. That's what Peter means. That's the context in which he introduces this phrase. My concern, however, is not the context. We have been studying, as you know, 2 Peter during the week. And it is particularly more there that we're concerned with the context and the connection of all these verses. But I want to lift the phrase out itself this morning. The way of truth. The Christian religion is the way of truth. And your concern, men and women, and my concern should be to make sure that we are on that way, the way of truth, that we are traversing it truly. And so the Christian religion is the way of the truth. Christianity in the Bible is frequently referred to as the way. It's quite interesting how often the true religion is referred to as the way. Christianity in the Acts of the Apostles, for example, is frequently referred to as the way. Acts chapter 9, verse 2, you remember Saul, he wanted to get letters to persecute the Christians. And in verse 2 it says, Saul desired of him letters, that is the high priest, to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound on to Jerusalem. The followers of Christianity were called this way. They were on this way. And then in chapter 18 and the verse 26 of the same book, we read that when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, that is Apollos, took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Here was a man professing Christianity, but he didn't fully understand or grasp that way. And so they expounded unto him the way, the Christian religion, more perfectly to his understanding. And then we read in chapter 19, verse 9, when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. They spoke evil of that way before the multitude. They spoke evil of the Christian religion, in other words. Chapter 22, verse 4, we read, Paul says, I persecuted this way. I persecuted the Christian religion. I persecuted all those that were on this path unto death. And then in chapter 24, verse 14, this I confess unto thee, Paul says, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. And there are other places in the Acts of the Apostles as well. The way is frequently referred to as a description of the Christian religion, the true faith. Its commencement is off the broad road. The entrance onto it is Christ the gate. It is the way that leads to heaven and to home and to the Father's house. It's the only way that leads to life. In Proverbs chapter 14 and the verse 12, we read that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You will notice the play here upon the singular and the plural use of the word way. Every man has his way. Every man has his right way. What seems right unto him? This man has his way, and another man has his way. It seems right to him. It's not the true and the living way. It's not the way that's right unto God, but it's the way that's right unto him. He's this way. Another man has another way. A way of works, a way of prayers, a way of cults, a way of false religions, a way of Islam, a way of Hinduism, and so on and so forth. Every man has his way. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Every man has his way, but they all go, all those multiplicity of ways, they all go to the same place, death. There's only the one true and living way, and that's the Christian religion, Christianity. So that's what the Apostle Peter here is speaking about. It's not the way that seemeth right unto a man that is the way, but the way that has been prepared of God and revealed by him, the way of the truth. Peter refers to this on several occasions. In verse 15, for example, he refers to it as the right way. The false prophets have forsaken the right way. And then at the end of the chapter, verse 21, it says it had been better for them not to have known the way. They had an intellectual knowledge of the way, but they weren't truly on the way. It was better for them not to have even had that intellectual knowledge of the way. And he calls the way there the way of righteousness. So on several occasions, he will refer again back to this, the way. And this way is variously referred to in scriptures. I just list some of the references without comment. It's called in the Bible the way of the righteous, the way of thy commandments, the way everlasting, the way of wisdom, the way of life, the way of understanding, the way of the Lord, the way of salvation, the way of God, the way of peace, the way into the holiest of all, the good way, the way of the just, the narrow way, the way of holiness. So on and so forth. The same way, under different names, which the Apostle Peter calls the way of truth. So why then should the Christian religion, I ask you this morning, be given this name, the way of truth? Why should it quite properly be called the path of truth? Why is Christianity given that name? I want to know that. And you should want to know that as well. Why does the Holy Spirit title that road, the one road that leads to glory, why does he title it the way of truth? Let me suggest four reasons to you. First of all, it is called the way of truth because its author is the God of truth. Its author is the God of truth. The true and the living God planned it. The true and the living God designed it. A world in sin. A gulf fixed between that world and himself. But the God of truth, the real God, the true God, the living God, the God who is not merely a shadow, but the God who is substance, the God of truth, the true God, he is the one that planned it. He's the author of this road. The Bible says he is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, are justice, a God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. Whenever the prophet called God thus, a God of truth, he was speaking of God's doings. He wasn't just saying his words are truth, but he was speaking of his works. He was speaking of his doings. He was speaking of his actions. His work is perfect. His ways are justice. A God of truth. And what he means is, it's not only God's words are true, but anything he does is true. It's real. It has substance. It's not a lie. And the way of salvation is a real and a true way. It is a substantial way, a way of substance, because he is the author of it, the God of truth. David said, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. The redemptive work and the saving work is the work of the God of truth. It is not just that his word about that salvation is truth. That's not what he's saying. Though that is true, of course. But what he's saying is that redemptive work itself is truth. It's real. It's substantial. It leads to life. There's no lie about it. There's no fabrication about it. There's nothing false about it. There's nothing misleading about it. It was planned by God. It was built by God. It couldn't but be the true way, because God is the builder of it. He doesn't build false ways. He doesn't put people on a path in a wrong direction. His work of salvation is, like himself, true and real. And Christianity, as Peter described it earlier on in chapter 1, is not cunningly devised fables. It is not just another road. All other ways, all other religions have the devil as their author. He is the father, not of a lie, but of lies. He's the father of all other ways. All other ways are false ways. All other ways are falsehoods. All other ways are the ways of death, as the wise man says. But God is the God of undivided truth, and there's only one way to him for sinners, and there's only one way that he's made. God is the author of the way of salvation. It's a wonder there is a way at all, isn't it, for us poor sinners? It's a wonder there is a way at all. But there is, and he's made it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Salvation is of the Lord, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. That's why that way is called the way of God, the way of the Lord. So that's the first reason why it's called the way of truth, because God, the God of truth, planned it and built it. But then the second reason why it is called the way of truth is because its substance is Christ, the truth. Its substance is Christ, the truth. I draw your attention to the well-known text in John chapter 14, the verse 6. Whenever there was that inquiry about the way to the Father's house, Thomas inquired about the way. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I say unto you that Peter could not have penned those words, the way of the truth, without thinking of that word of the Lord Jesus to Thomas and to the other apostles there present. And so whenever the Holy Spirit says Christianity is the way of the truth, we are brought back to these words of the Lord Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus, in other words, is saying he himself, exclusively to the offense of Muslims and all others, he is the exclusive way. I am the way, the only way. And he adds the truth. He is the true way, the truth. The true way to eternal life, the living way, the only way, the solitary way. So the way to the Father is Christ, the truth. And so whenever we read this word or text then, the way of truth, we are reminded that the Lord Jesus Christ is that way, because he is the truth. The definite article, as I said, is present in the original text. So whenever the Lord says, I am the way of the truth, he doesn't just mean I talk about the way truly. No, he doesn't just mean that. He doesn't just mean I reveal the way truly. No, he doesn't just mean that. He says, I am the way. I am the true way. I'm the only way. All other ways are just pictures and shadows and images. That path out the road there, that's just the path that's followed this substance. Christ is the real way, just as he's the true vine. He's the true way. And every path and way that was ever designed for us is a picture. Christ is the only reality and substance. He is the truth, the way. In another sense, he's the pavement stones. God the Father planned it. God the Father built this path to him. But every pavement stone is Jesus Christ. And you'll never get to heaven unless you know what it is to walk in Jesus Christ and to lean upon Jesus Christ and to build on Christ. And he to be the foundation of your feet. Every step that you take, you'll never get to glory unless every step that you take, he's the foundation upon which you're walking. He is the way, the truth. Neither is there salvation in any other. By whom, Paul says, by Christ we have access. For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I am the door. By me, if anyone enter in, he shall be saved. That way is referred to in Hebrews chapter 10. We read there that we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he, that is the Lord Jesus, hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And so you see, the new and living way is Christ. He's referred to there. It's the way of the blood. Every pavement of it is stained with blood, because there was no way without the death and sacrifice of Christ. It's a living way because it is a living person, Jesus Christ. It's a new way because he's always fresh. He's the eternal one. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the new and living way. It's not called new because suddenly it's appeared. No, it's because it's new because he is new always, eternally fresh. The beginning and the end, the author and finisher of our faith. Christianity is called the way of truth because Christianity is Christ. What does the Lord Jesus mean to you, men and women? Are you finding out a way that seems right to you this morning? Are you coming to God through your works, through your religion? Are you trying to make yourself worthy and to come in a better presentation of an outfit of your own fabrication before God? You know what that is? That's just the way of Cain, all dressed up. Christ. Do you know Christ? Are you standing on Christ? Are your feet firmly resting in the Savior? Are you walking in him? Are you traveling upon him? Are you resting in Christ crucified? On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. Yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. But while others build on good works or opinions, if they may, hallelujah, hallelujah, I am depending on the blood. Or as Jesse Pounds puts it in her hymn, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. David said, I have chosen the way of truth. Have you? Have you chosen Christ? Are you walking in him daily? So it's called the path, the way of truth, because God is the author of it. It's called the way of truth because Christ is the substance of it. It's also called the way of truth because its revelation is by the word of truth. It's called the way of truth because the word of truth marks it out. It's called the way of truth because the word of truth illuminates it. The word of truth brightens it up for sinners to see, to traverse. So not only is truth its pavement, not only is truth its planner and builder, but truth illuminates it. Truth enlightens it. Truth reveals it to us. The truth of God's word. And that's another reason why it is called the way of the truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus says, and that word illuminates the path. Just as if you're on a road in a dark country and there's no lights, and you haven't got lights in front of your car and you have no headlights. Have you ever tried, I don't suppose you have, but probably an equivalent would be in a fog. Even though you have lights on, you still can't see anything. So a fog sort of mimics darkness. I don't suggest that you drive in darkness to experience it. But if you go to Africa, places like that, where there is total darkness, hardly any lights whatsoever, if you're traversing along a road, it's very hard to see the turn off. It's very hard to see the way. Sinners are on the broad road. It's a road of darkness. They can't see the narrow way to turn off unless it's illuminated, unless it's lit up. And the word of truth lights it up. That's why it's called the way of the truth. The word of the truth lights up the gate of that way. And the word of the truth illuminates the whole path to glory. And Peter has already told us that you do well to give heed unto the scriptures as unto a light traveller in a dark place. And that undoubtedly is in his mind as he goes into chapter 2 and speaks about the false prophets and the true way. And sometimes if you're in a dark road and it's not clearly defined, as in Africa, you can easily go off it and get lost. That's why you have a torch with you, a light, to lighten up the way. And Christians are on the way, but they would get off it if they didn't have the light of the word constantly in their hand, illuminating it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm on the true and the living way. I'm on the new and the living way. I'm on the way to my Father. But thy word is the book that lightens it up. And I have it every day to illuminate me so I don't go off that path, so I don't miss the way, so I don't lose track. That's what's happened to these false teachers. They've lost track because they've left the word of the truth. And so Christianity is the way of the truth because Christ, the way, is illuminated by the word. Good and upright, the Bible says, is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. How does he do that? He does it through his word. He teaches them in the way. The word of his truth illuminates the path. And so we're glad that whenever the devil comes along, whenever sin comes along, whenever temptation comes along, and we feel ourselves shaken, we open up the book and we see Christ again and Calvary again and the blood again, and we don't lose the way. And the devil doesn't drive us from the way, because this book constantly illuminates our Savior Jesus Christ, who keeps us on the way and who we never leave. It's called the way of the truth because of that reason. The scriptures are like hedges and curbstones closing up that way so that they hedge us in never to leave it. The way of the truth. So not only is God the Father, the God of truth, the author and planner of it, not only is Christ the truth, the pavement stones of that way, not only is the scriptures of truth, the word of truth, the lights along that way to illuminate it, and the curbstones in that way to hedge us in, it's also called the way of the truth because of its efficacy and power. It's called the way of the truth because it is so powerful that all the true traversers of it, not those who merely say that they're on it, but all the true traversers on it are men and women of truth. Not lying teachers, not false teachers, not corrupt livers, but men and women of the truth, because they've got onto that way truly, and such is its power and efficacy that it has worked in them, and the truth characterizes them. Men of falsehood, men of lies, men of deceit, men of dishonesty will not traverse this way. This is a way for the people of God in whose hearts truth has been implanted by the Holy Spirit. And so it is called the way of the truth, because all that are truly on it are men and women of the truth. The pilgrims that tread it are pilgrims of truth. They love the truth. Not like the false teachers. The false teachers who have departed from the truth. Those only are truly on it who have an attachment to the truth. Attached to the God of truth. Walking on Christ, the path of truth. Having in their hearts and in their hands and the lamp and continually onto their feet the word and the scriptures of truth. Men and women of the book. The pilgrims who traverse this land, this path, with the light of the word in their hand, who will not depart from this book, who will not speak contrary to this book, who will not teach falsehoods that are not in this book. The way of the truth. The false teachers and the false livers who professing to be on that way but not truly being so cause that way to be evil spoken of. They that walk in this way walk in the truth. So efficacious has the Lord Jesus Christ been on their souls that truth and honesty characterizes their lives and their hearts. It is called the way of truth because they that are on it are sincere, open, transparent, and honest. The travelers on it are men and women of integrity who have truth and honesty in their inward parts, who have left the way of lying, and who say, as David said, I hate and abhor lying. A Christian is an honest man. A Christian is on the way of the truth. And truth is in his inward parts. Not like these false teachers who speak a lie, who live a lie, whose whole life is a falsehood. A Christian is not a sham. A Christian is real. It is true that we have foulness about us, but we are honest about that with our God. And we still walk in the light as He is in the light. Our foulness exposed by the light of that word, and it makes us feel wretched, it is true. But we confess our sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The child of God is honest with himself. The ungodly live a lie. They deceive themselves. But the child of God doesn't. He is honest with himself, and he's honest with God. And he says, Lord, I've sinned against heaven and earth, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son. He's like the publican who smites upon his breast. In his honesty, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Does truth characterize us? Does truth characterize you, child of God? Doctrinal truth, yes. But also practical truth, practical honesty and integrity with your fellow man. And sinner, you must needs start here, being honest with God and honest with yourself and honest about your need and honest that you're a sinner and honest that you have not seriously had dealings with Jesus Christ. You need to be honest and flee to Him and be saved. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. The way of the truth. The author of it, the God of truth. the substance of it, the Christ of truth, the revelation of it, the word of truth, the power and efficacy of it. Men and women of truth.